Turn with me, if you would, now to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We were here for the Bible study a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at the first seven verses on the subject of, are all men saved? Are all men and women saved? Let's read these first seven verses. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Does God want all men to be saved? Does God want all men and women to be saved? We are not going to take the time to re-preach that message. But to answer that question, let me just quote some of what the Lord Jesus Christ has said in His Word. Okay, let me just quote some things to you. In John 10, He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. In Matthew 25, He said, in the judgment, He is going to divide the sheep from the goats. And to the sheep, He's going to say, welcome in. And to the goats, He's going to say, depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. In Matthew 7, He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone. And I'll just say that it's because they were pleading, if we go there and read that portion of Scripture, they were pleading their own works before Him. We did this, and we did this. And that's not acceptable with God. That is not, our works is not something that He will accept. So He said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In John 17, He said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. They are mine. Out of every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue from all over this world, Jew and Gentile. And in John 17 there, He said, I have kept all of them. All. None is lost. Not one. None of them is lost. In 2 Peter 3, He said, not any of the us word, the chosen, selected, redeemed us word, will perish. All of them, every single one of them particularly, will come to repentance. Every one of them. And that's because He has already done everything necessary to save them. If God wanted all men to be saved, all men would be saved. And because all men are not saved, we have our answer. Now, the reason that we so clearly set forth the election of God's particular people that He sovereignly chose, sovereignly selected to save, we do that often. We do that often. Y'all talking about elections? All y'all ever do is just talk about election? Y'all ever preach anything else? The reason why we so clearly, so constantly, we try to do it clearly, but so constantly set forth God's election of His people is because, the reason we do that is because His glory is at stake in it. His sovereign, all-powerful ability is at stake in it. That's the reason why. If we lie on Him and claim that He wants all men to be saved, but He doesn't have the ability to ensure that all men are saved, then we're declaring Him to be a failure. That's what we're doing. If we declare a God who wants to save, doesn't that sound familiar? If we declare a God who wants to save everybody, but can't, then we're declaring a God who is no God at all. Don't call Him God, because that's not God. And in doing that, we are blasphemously bringing Him down. That's all we're doing. If we declare that lie concerning Him, all we're doing is we're bringing Him down to a place that is actually lower than the poor sinful souls He's trying to save. Lower than them. If He needs our help, or if He needs our permission, or if He needs our anything, honestly, do we really need Him? Is He really our Savior? Do we see what an insult it is to lie on Him in preaching Him that way? That's an insult to who He is and what He's done and what He is able to do. This is God we are declaring. This is God. The God who willed and purposed salvation before the foundation of the world. This is the God who executed that salvation to the fullest degree. God cannot lie. And when God said it is finished, that means to the fullest degree. If it wasn't to the fullest degree, it's not finished. It's not, the job's not finished. I used to do, mom would make me do chores around the house, and I'd do it my way, and she'd say, nope, do it again. It's not finished. You missed a spot. God cannot lie. If God says it's finished, it's finished. He left no component of salvation undone. Not one component of salvation undone. We're talking here about the God who quickens and calls every single soul that He chose to set His love and affection on. Every one of them. This is the God who will not lose one of them. Cannot. That's His glory. That's His glory. That's what makes Him God. That right there is what makes Him God. He's able to keep that. He's able. Abraham believed God, that he was able to do what he promised he would do. That's what makes him God. That's what makes him worthy to be praised. It's because he made a covenant to save his people from their sin. He swore to keep that covenant, and he did. He did. The surety of his word that he's given. The solid ground of the hope that he's given. His trustworthiness. His faithfulness. Declaring him to be anything less than that is blasphemy against him. Declaring him to be anything less than that is blasphemy against him. So that's why we declare the truth of his sovereign electing grace in who he chose to save. God wants every soul that he chose to save to be saved. That's who God wants to be saved. Every soul that he chose to be saved. And that's who is going to be saved. Every soul that he chose to save. Now, the reason we're back in these verses is because I wanted to focus a little bit more on one of the verses that we just read here. And before we read it, I want to tell you that this is the reason why. All right? This right here is the reason why every soul that God wants to be saved is going to be saved. This is the reason why. Every one of them will be saved. God chose a particular people to be saved. It's a number no man can number, which is just a glorious thought to me. It's a number no man can number. He's good, he's kind, he's merciful, he's loving, he's generous. But God chose a people to be saved, and they're going to be saved. And this is the reason why. Verse 5, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Every soul that God chose to be saved will be saved. All of them. That got my attention. All of them. And it's for that reason right there. It's for this reason right here. Verse 5 says, "There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." There is only one God. People say, "Well, now that's your God and I have my God." There's only one God. There's just one God. And he is the God that was just described, just declared. He is not a God that most men preach today. And I say that sadly. I say that so sadly. I feel so sorry for people who are under the lies of false teaching. I just feel so sorry for people. I don't say this arrogantly. Lord, teach us. Teach me. Increase our faith. Reveal your word to us. But he is not the God that most men are preaching today. He is not trying to do anything. He's not trying to do anything. Well, now he's trying now. You just got to stop messing up his plan. I literally heard a man say that one time. Now here's the key. If you can just stop, if we'll just get out of the way and stop messing up his plan, and if the devil will just stop messing up his plan, he's trying. He is not trying to do anything. He is not waiting on anyone. Well, if you'll go ahead, I tell you what, do this for me. Go ahead and make your decision. He is waiting for you to make your decision. As soon as you pull the trigger and say that He can, He is not trying to do anything. He is not waiting on anyone. And He is not knocking anywhere. He's knocking on your heart's door, and He's wanting you to give Him your heart. He is hoping that you will give Him your heart, and He's wanting to come in so badly. He wants to come into your heart so badly. Please open to Him. Please just open to Him. Open your heart's door so He can come in. He's knocking. Don't miss it. He's knocking. No, He's not. No, He's not. No, He is not. The only knocking that He does is when He knocks our heart's door down. He comes in with that right hand and that holy right arm, and He knocks that door down. Thank God. Thank God, and all of our resistant pride and self-righteousness, and God Almighty in the person of that man comes and He knocks that heart's door down. When He wants in, He comes in. And He takes up residency. And He says, I live here now. That old man's out. No one can stop Him. No one can even ask Him, hold on now, wait a minute, what are you doing? This is God. This is God. There is one God, and He really is God. He really is God. And man really is sin against Him. And man doesn't realize what he's dealing with. Man does not realize what he's dealing with. We are not in our flesh ready to go meet God. Well, he's ready to go meet God. He's made his peace with God. But has God made His peace with him? That's the question. We're dealing with the all-powerful, almighty, who promises. He doesn't lie. And He has promised that He will punish sinners in their sin. And that's what I am. And nobody gets a free pass. Nobody gets swept under the rug. No sin. None. Every face that I'm looking at this morning is a sinner. And if I had a mirror right now and I held it up right here, I would be looking at a sinner. And because we're all sinners in our sin and in the flesh of our sin, God is angry. And this is I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. I know this is not popular, I know it's not common, I understand it's even shocking. Because most people are just not being told this. But according to His own word, God is angry. God is angry in our sin. God is angry. That is the truth. Men stand up all the time and they tell sinners, God is so pleased with you. He has such a wonderful plan for you. It's not true. That's just not true. If I had time, I would read Psalm 5 to you. Read Psalm 5 sometime. If I had time, I would read 2 Thessalonians 1 to you. If we took the time, I'd read 1 Peter 3 to you. Just read those places. It is just not true. God is angry with sin, and that's what I am. That's the truth. That's the truth. All right, now, here's the gospel. And I'll say one more thing about truth. To prove just how angry God is with sin, look at what He did to His own Son on the cross of Calvary. You look at what God the Father did to God the Son and tell me God is not angry with sin. All right, but here's the gospel. All that is the truth. And there's one God, there's only one gospel. There's not another. There's not another. This is the only gospel that there is. Here it is right here. Verse 5 says, there is one mediator. Oh, the good news of declaring this to sinners. When God reveals to them the horror of their condition, and then we have the great privilege of standing up crying, if any have sinned against God, there is one mediator. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There is only one hope for us. I think that's what I titled this. There is only one hope for us. There is only one God, and there's only one mediator between God and man. There's only one hope for us. We need Jesus Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need the law. We don't need morality. We don't need a second chance. Oh, if God would just give me a second chance. We don't need a second chance. We'd just ruin it like we did the first one. We need Jesus Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God, the wrath of God abides on him, and he hath not life. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, there's one God and one mediator. What is a mediator? The word means reconciler. That's what the word means. Reconciler. It's one who brings two who are at odds back together again in peace and agreement. The sins of God's people separated them from God. Christ brought them back. Because of our sin, the Scripture says, we were at enmity against Him. That's what it says. We were at enmity against Him. That means we considered ourselves to be His enemies. See if the Lord will let you enter into this, okay? On the day of Pentecost, whenever the Spirit descended on the apostles and they saw Christ in the Scriptures, and they started preaching. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved that morning. And 5,000 souls were saved that evening. They put the apostles in jail till the next day, but it was too late. They'd already preached, and 5,000 souls were saved that evening. Okay? Do we realize who those 8,000 people were? Our brother just read that account. Okay? Do we realize who those 8,000 people were? The very ones who laid hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and brought Him to Pilate and said, kill Him. And Pilate said, I'll give you Barabbas. They said, no, kill Him. Kill Him. Do we know who those people were? The very 8,000 souls that were saved a month later. He said, you who by wicked hands crucified and slain. They were the very ones who said, no, no, no. You kill Him. I want you to kill Him. Make Him suffer. And you kill Him. To suffice our brothers and sisters, okay, our brethren, to suffice God's elect, in order to appease God's elect people, Pilate said, okay, hang Him on a cross. We look at those people and say, what wicked sinners. They represent every single one of us. All of God's people. And from that cross, do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Did He say, Father, take me down from here and let them burn in hell forever? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, let your wrath be appeased. Charge this sin of theirs to me. Charge the judgment to me. Receive my sacrifice as a payment for all of their offenses against you. Father, forgive them. Let peace be restored in me. I want to show you this, what I consider to be one of the sweetest accounts in the Scripture. This is an account of mediation. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philemon. Just a few pages over toward Hebrews, right before Hebrews 1. One chapter. It's only about 4 or 5 pages over. Philemon. I'll give you a little history quickly. There's a man named Onesimus, and he was the servant of Philemon, and he did him wrong. Everything he did, he sinned against his master. He was a servant of this master, Philemon. And he stole from him. He just, horrible, horrible servant. And he left and abandoned Philemon, and he came to Rome and found Paul. And Paul was preaching the gospel there, and Philemon heard the gospel, and the Lord just broke him, broke his soul. And so Paul is now sending Onesimus back to Philemon with a letter. He's writing a letter on Onesimus' behalf to go back. Now, I could read this as Paul doing a very kind thing for Onesimus. But let's read this as the Lord Jesus Christ writing a letter of mediation, intercession to God the Father concerning us, the sinful servants. Okay? Look with me at Philemon, verse 10. Oh, listen to Jesus Christ speaking to his Father. He said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, that's us, whom I have begotten in my bonds, right here in my bonds, I begot him, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now, because I have begotten him, profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. He is joined together, one with me. Verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing. I do nothing against your will. Thy will is my will. That thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. And that's what happened to us. We in Adam, we departed for a season. And in the bonds of Christ our Savior, we now are received again forever, never to depart again. Verse 16, receive him forever. Verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me. I send him back as my brother, not my servant, but my brother. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now watch verse 17. He said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. You consider this me coming to you. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Whatever he's done against you, whatever he's stolen from you, whatever he owes you, whatever payment needs to be made for you to be satisfied, you put all of it on my account. Verse 19, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. I will repay it. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Did the Father forgive the people that Christ mediated for? Yes, He did. How do we know that He did? Here's the reason why. It's because Christ did not come down from that cross. He did not come down. In order to save others, He could not save Himself. The death of the cross, that was the mediation. That's what it took to reconcile us back to God. That's what it took to make peace. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. And I have a little bit more here I was going to tell you, but I'm going to close. Because I believe we've gotten the point of reconciliation. But you almost can't talk about reconciliation without going to Ephesians 2, where it says you were Gentiles, you were outcasts, you were aliens, you were heathen, you were without God in the world, you were godless. But now through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're nigh. He has broken down that middle wall of partition. And He's made of two, one. So making peace by the blood of His cross. And then He came and He preached peace to you. And because of that, you're no more strangers, but now you're fellow citizens. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Ephesians 1 talks about being accepted in the Beloved. And because of that, it says, grace and peace be to you. Because of this mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, almost every single epistle in the New Testament starts with, grace and peace be unto you. All because of the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be unto you. There is one God. There's one holy God who we sinned against. And if we want reconciliation with Him, it will only come through the mediating blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to come to the Father, it will only be through the Son, giving Him the glory for the great things that He's done. One God and one mediator. Look to Him. There's only one mediator. Look to Him. All right, you come, Brother Eddie.